Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, the podcast for accomplished Black women ready to stop surviving and start thriving. I'm your host, Natasha Riley, licensed therapist and founder of Javer Integrative Wellness Services. This is where we move beyond talking about change to actually creating it. Every episode gives you practical tools to build a daily pleasure practice because you've already proven you can achieve anything. Now it's time to learn how to enjoy it. Ready to bridge the gap between knowing and doing? Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. Thank you so much for coming back for another episode focused on pleasure, self-care, and rest for high-achieving Black women. Now, today's episode is a recording that I did for YouTube. Fun fact, Javery Wellness has a YouTube channel. So if you have not subscribed yet, head on over to Javery Wellness on YouTube and join us. I'm trying to get to 1,000 subscribers. Not there yet. Very far away, but it's fine. We'll get there. And I did a video on how to know that you're a high achiever. So one of the things that I'm always talking about is if you are a high achiever, overthinking all of these things. And it never occurred to me that it's possible that someone doesn't know that they're an overachiever, that they're a high achiever. They may just think that is their regular life and that's who they are. So I did a video for the YouTube channel to give you 5 ways to know if you're a high achiever. Now, before we get into the episode, I want you to do 2 things for me, okay? So one, I would love for you to rate and review this episode on the platform of your choosing, one that is favorable for you. That is going to allow the wonderful algorithm to push us out to more women like you because we need this information now more than ever, okay? 2, I would love for you to sign up for our 7-day self-care reset. It is in tandem with all of the information that I'm giving you. And it's not the commercialized self-care. It is the self-care that is free. It is the self-care that you can do every day. It is a 7-day email sequence that gives you tangible things to do to increase self-care in your life. Okay. So do those things for me. Listen to this episode. If anything resonates with you, please let me know. And if there's more that you want to know about, more information that you would like to hear about, whether it's here on the podcast or the YouTube channel, please let me know. Other than that, enjoy. When most people hear high achiever, they think CEOs, they think doctors, people with these impressive titles, but that's not what we're going to be talking about today. You can have a regular job. You don't have to have any fancy degrees, and you can still be considered a high achiever because it's not about what's on the resume. It's not about what's on the CV. It's not about all of the roles that you play every single day. It's actually about what's happening in your head. And so if you are, I don't know if I'm a high achiever. I assume high achiever, but I don't know. We're going to go through 5 signs, and if 3 of them are check mark, check mark, check mark, then yeah, you're probably a high achiever. If you are new to this channel, hello, my name is Natasha Riley. I am the founder and clinical director of Javery Integrative Wellness Services, also Javery Wellness for short. It is a therapy practice that was created to support high achieving Black women, women that want their internal landscaping, right? Their internal feelings, how they feel about themselves and their lives, to look just as successful as everyone thinks that their external life is. So if that is you, you are in the right place and we're going to get you on track. So let's go ahead and get into it. So there are some key points that I want you to take into consideration when you're thinking about this, okay? When I say high achiever, I'm not talking about your job title. I'm not talking about how much money you make. When I say high achiever, I'm talking about how you treat yourself. Think about how much you rest. Think about how you make decisions and how you handle mistakes. Okay, you could be crushing it. You could be killing it in your day-to-day life. It doesn't change the fact that you're a high achiever. You're still a high achiever. You could be struggling right now. You could have been laid off and looking to find work. You're still a high achiever. The role doesn't matter. You're still a high achiever because it's an inside thing. It's not an outside thing. And the truth is, being a high achiever is more so of the voice
that's in your head, whoever's voice it is, because 9 times out of 10, it's not our voice, but it's the voice in your head that's never quite satisfied. It's always pushing. I gotta do more. I gotta do more. Always questioning if you're doing enough or if you are enough. So if this is you, I would love for you to drop in the comments. Yep, that's me. So about the success. Now, let me tell you when I knew for a fact that I was a high achiever. So when I was in grad school, I was dead set on getting a 4.0. Why was I trying to get a 4.0? I don't know. I just wanted a 4.0. And I had this one class. I can't remember which, but the professor gave me a B. And when I tell you I was so livid about that B, mind you, all the rest of my classes, I was so angry. And I got out of grad school with a 3.9. And to this day, logically, I understand. Girl, you passed. But to this day, I'm like, she messed up my 4.0. And when I got out of grad school, I still operated on this idea of A plus work ethic. And one day, my partner said to me, girl, you're not at school no more. Nobody cares about your A's. Nobody cares about my A's. I was an A student. I was an A student in high school. I might have played around in undergrad, but in grad school, I was an A student, 3.9. You can't tell me anything. He said, that's great. No one cares. And when he said that and I really sat and thought about it, I was like, they don't care. No one cares. Everyone takes my A plus work ethic and they use it against me. They take advantage of it. And when I had that epiphany, that's when I started unlearning the habits that I built of being a high achiever. That is why you have the person that's in front of you today who is a high achiever support group. I am in recovery. So let's talk about 5 signs that you're a high achiever. Sign one, your standards for yourself are wild, okay? Wild. But the standards are only for you. So you hold yourself at this particular standard that you would never expect from anyone else. So that looks like you see someone and they do something and it's 80%. And you're like, that's great. That's absolutely great. Say you're in school, because I know a lot of y'all are probably in school because we don't know how to go to school, right? Somebody gets to 80% and they come to you and you're like, it's great. You pass. You're doing a good job. That's great. But don't let you get an 80%. Don't let you get a 95%. Because, baby, that's not enough. Okay, not high enough. There's something wrong with me. I should have done better. Good enough literally does not exist in your vocabulary for you. Good enough works for other people. Good enough doesn't work for you. Good enough, no. Perfect. Need to be perfect. And even when you do something well, there's that voice in the back of your head that's like, yeah, but you could have been better. You could have been better. So let's talk a little bit about why this happens. Somewhere along the way, somewhere in your life, you learn that perfect equals safe. And the reality is we know where that comes from. Epigenetics, that is in our line, that is in our generation. If we weren't perfect, that could lead to the end of our lives, right? The generations before us. We don't live in that same standard. But the people before us, they spoke those particular messages to us, right? You have to be twice as good to get half as far, right? You make mistakes and you get in trouble. And so now you don't want to get in trouble. You try to avoid mistakes at all costs. You have trained your brain to think I'm perfect. And if I'm perfect, I won't get criticized or I won't get hurt. A lot of this conditioning comes from the things that our ancestors have endured. We are not that far removed. I say this all the time. We are not that far removed. And technically, we still go through it to this day. But let me tell you what this thought process is costing you. No good enough. You can't enjoy what you've accomplished because it never feels like enough. Another example, because I've dealt with this personally. You achieve all of these things and not once do you stop to celebrate. Well, I did that because that's what I'm supposed to do. That was my goal. On to the next. I got more things that I got to do. I got a lot of things I got to ramp out. And people are like, well, are you going to have a party? You're going to celebrate for what? I got other things I got to do. Now you're exhausted trying to reach impossible standards, standards you will never meet. You're missing out on celebrating you, looking at all the things. You don't pay attention to the things that you've done because you're paying attention to how you did it wrong. So I want you to drop a one if you've ever finished something good and immediately thought, I should have done it better. I should have done it better. I want you to drop a one. And here's where things continue to get worse, okay? You overthink everything. You overthink everything. You replay every conversation in your head for days, weeks, months, playing what you should have said or how the conversation should have went. You take forever to make decisions, the simplest decisions, because you think through every possible outcome, which isn't possible. You can't do that. You second guess yourself all the time, even when you know what you want. And your brain never shuts off. It's constantly analyzing, planning, worrying. You're like, oh, I can't get out of my head. When I try to go to sleep at night, it's like my brain just lights up and I'm thinking about all the things that I need to do. I'm thinking about the day. I'm thinking about tomorrow and I cannot rest.
Listen, I need to be real with you for a second. You're here listening to this episode. Maybe you're not alone. You're feeling seen. And girl, that's beautiful. But if you're like most of my listeners, you're going to finish this episode, you're going to feel all inspired for about 10 minutes and then go right back to your regular life where you're still putting everyone first. I get it. I've been there. But here's what I've learned. The gap between knowing what you need to do and actually doing it is where transformation lives. Now, if you're tired of just consuming content about self-care and you're ready to start practicing it, not tomorrow, not next week, but starting today, I created something specifically for you. It's called the 7-Day Self-Care Reset, and it's exactly what it sounds like. 7 days of simple, actionable steps that help you move from thinking about prioritizing yourself to actually doing it. No overwhelm, no complicated systems, just practical tools that work with your real life. You'll get permission to put yourself first, learn to recognize those inherited patterns that keep you stuck, and discover what your authentic desires actually are underneath all the expectations. This isn't about adding more to your plate. I'm not going to do that to you. It's about finally honoring what's already on it, starting with you. Ready to stop listening and start living? Visit javerywellness.com/reset. That's R-E-S-E-T. And let's do this work together. Because the woman who just listens and the woman who actually takes action, they live completely different lives. Now, back to the episode.
When I first started my business, there were so many things that I couldn't control. And there were so many things that I didn't know. But clockwork, I would lay my head down and my brain would go, well, why didn't you do this? Well, this happened and you let this happen and this, that, and the other. When literally, I quit my job and I am running a business and I ain't making ends meet. Girl. Celebrate that you didn't go without, but my brain is nitpicking all the things, causing anxiety in my chest and making it hard to breathe. There were some mornings I would wake up crying from just all the thoughts going on in my head. So what this could possibly look like for you, real life examples, okay? Should I send this email? So simple, right? Or is it too much? And then you rewrite it, and then you send it to Chad, and then you send it to Claude. And is this what I'm trying to say? Just send the email. Thinking about the thing that you said 3 days ago, and ooh, why did I say that? Why did I shouldn't have said that? Why did I say that? That was horrible. Or how about making a pro and con list for what to have for lunch? Oh my gosh. And then you end up not eating at all. Or here's one that I have a bad habit of doing. Asking 3 friends their opinion on something you've already decided because you don't trust what you've already decided. And so these things happen because your brain thinks if you think hard enough, you'll find the right answer, right answer. You're trying to avoid making mistakes again. You don't trust yourself to just know things anymore. I have a feeling that's why I did it. No, we can't trust that. and you're disconnected from your gut because you've been overriding it so long, right? That knowing within you, this is the best decision for me, no matter what other people think about it, you can't even feel that anymore. And so what does this cost you? You're mentally exhausted all the time, all the time. You miss opportunities because you're stuck in analysis mode, analysis paralysis. And you can't hear what you actually want, which is the most important thing, because the overthinking is so loud. You can't even hear yourself. So if you've ever spent more time thinking about doing something than it would take just to do it, I want you to put a 2 in the comment. I want you to put a 2 in the comments. And understand that you're not alone. Again, I'm giving you my personal story. I help my clients through it all the time. There's so many decisions that we're making. There's so many people depending on us, right? I am the worst with making decisions, and I blame it because I'm a Libra and I'm indecisive. So I get the same detergent because I used to struggle in the grocery store about what detergent do I want, because there's just so many smells and I like them all. And I would be smelling every single one of them. Girl, get the lavender. Just get the lavender. Sign 3. You say yes when you mean no. This one, I don't do this. My no is my no. But I know that a lot of other high achieving Black women struggle with saying no. You agree to things that you don't want to. You feel guilty when you disappoint people, so you're going to continue to overextend yourself. You're the one everyone calls when something is going down and they need you, because they know you're not going to say no. I know she's not going to say no. Just call her. And you're constantly telling yourself, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's fine. I'm being a good friend. That's what friends are supposed to do. That's what family is supposed to do. Even when it is a big deal. And just the idea of setting a boundary feels so mean. It feels so heavy and uncomfortable. And here's some of the things that go on in your head, right? It's fine. I don't mind helping. You do mind. It's only an hour. You really don't have an hour, but you're going to make it stretch. You're going to make it do what it does. They really need me. You need you more. And I'm just being nice. No, your energy is being drained. I hope that when these things go in your head, you actually hear my voice saying these things to you. So let's talk about some real life examples that you could be going through when it comes to overextending yourself and saying yes when you mean to say no. Staying late at work when you have plans because your boss asked. Saying yes to watching someone's kids when you're tired. Helping someone move when you're tired. That moving thing. And then taking on extra projects because everyone else is too busy. That sounds like a personal problem, but I digress. Now, why does this happen? Because you've learned earlier on that your value comes from being helpful and available to other people. You were praised. She always shows up. She's always there to help everybody. And you love it. It's a dopamine hit, right? So you keep doing it. You think saying no makes you selfish. Now, if you have followed any point, you have heard me say time and time again, being selfish is necessary. It's basically you just taking care of you. Because if you don't, who will? You're afraid people will be mad or disappointed. And they will. They will. They'll be mad. They'll be disappointed because they're used to having a version of you that's always available to them, always showing up. I promise you they'll get over it. I promise you they'll get over it. And deep down, you believe other people's needs matter more than yours. I kid you not. I had a client a couple years ago, and we were talking about why she always overextends herself for other people. And she said, because I would rather be disappointed in myself than have other people disappointed in me. I would rather, at the demise of my mental, physical, emotional health, I would rather be disappointed and uncomfortable than to make someone else disappointed and uncomfortable. And of course, we worked through that, through boundaries and just connecting her to her worth. We worked through it, but it was very much ingrained because she had been doing it for so long. And so I don't doubt that you struggle with the same things. But this is what it's costing you. you start resenting people that matter to you, those that you love them, and you were to open up and let them know what you're struggling with and let them be there for you, they would. You're irritable, you're frustrated, you're running on empty all the time. Your relationships aren't genuine because they're built on your performing, not being real. No one knows you for real because you're always saying yes. They don't get to know the true you. And you lose yourself trying to be everything to everyone. And so if this one resonates with you, if number three resonates with you, I want you to drop a guilty in the comments. If you've said yes and then immediately thought, why did I just agree to that? Drop a guilty in the comments. Number four, and I talk about this all the time, that is what the core values of Javery Wellness: pleasure, self-care, rest. Sign four, rest feels wrong. So this looks like you feel guilty when you're not being productive. You feel lazy. You justify rest by what you accomplish first. So I'm earning rest. I can do this. I can rest after I finish this. When you have days off, it feels wasteful. I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something. When you're scrolling on your phone, doom scrolling in other people's lives instead of actually resting and doing the least because you want to be doing something. And the biggest pattern of all is your worth equals your to-do list. If you're not working on your to-do list, you're worthless and not valuable. And so some of the questions you ask yourself when you're trying to rest, well, what did I get done today? Opposed to, how do I feel? Number one question, am I being lazy? But it's basic rest. Your body, your mind needs rest. Or did I earn this break? As if it's a reward and not something that is your right. So I want to give you an example of a client that I have. We have been working on her using her days off to just chill. She cannot do anything. She can focus on self-care. She can watch her movies, whatever it is that she wants to do. We have been working on that because every time that we get to her day off, she's like, I just feel like I'm being so wasteful. I feel like I've spent all of these other days at work and I should be doing X, Y, and Z on this day. But I'm like, but you're tired. You're tired. How are you going to be able to go out and do the best that you can for yourself when you're exhausted? And so I asked her to give me one day. Just give me one day. And believe it or not, this is actually a conversation I have across the board with majority of my clients. What does it look like if you don't do anything at all? And most struggle because their nervous system is so used to doing something and going, and the voices in their head tell them, why are you just laying here? There's so much to do. The reality is there will always be something for you to do. There will always be something for you to do if you let it. And so these moments of rest in your life, they're not going to make or break you. I promise. And we know where this comes from. It comes from you being taught that your value comes from what you produce. Because at one point in history, yes, it did. It mattered. If you could not produce, if you weren't valuable, you ceased to exist in this world. We understand that. What also happened? Rest feels like you're falling behind. I'm missing out on something. There's something I should be doing. FOMO. FOMO of what? We don't know, but I'm missing out on something. Something I should be doing. And we don't have a good example, right? You saw the women before you working themselves to the bone. Those are the values that they've instilled in you. And so you don't want to look lazy to them, not after all the hard work that they've put in. We get these messages that Black women have to work twice as hard. And if you're not, that you're not worthy, right? And you're lazy. If you're not being productive and you're laying around here, why are you just laying around here? Oh my gosh, I know, because we've all lived the same life, right? Remember when you would be asleep on the weekend and your mom would come in there and, oh, you're not finna sleep in. We got all these things that we gotta do. Why? Why do we have to be up at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning to clean? It just doesn't make sense to me. I know we've all lived the same life, so you know. I don't do that anymore. I don't get up at the crack of dawn. I get up when my body tells me to get up. I don't wake my kids up either. When you get up, do what you need to do. That was crazy, right? That was crazy. What is this costing you? You're always tired, but can't let yourself truly rest. Your body is screaming, please just give me a break. Give me a break. This is where we end up getting sick, hurting. Listen, you don't rest, it could really do a detriment to your body. And then you miss out on pleasures and joys because you're too busy doing things. You're not experiencing life. You miss out on your family. You miss out on your friends. You miss out on your life. I said your health issues. Health issues because you ignore what your body needs. It's talking to you and you're ignoring it. So I want you to comment rest in the comments if you've ever felt guilty for sitting down, just for sitting down. And we're going to go into number 5, last but for sure not least. Okay. You feel like a fake. You feel like a fake. No matter what you accomplish, you feel like you're not actually that good. You get that award. Yeah, but I could have. Or I got lucky instead of, no, you actually smart. You actually got skills. You actually know what you're doing. And you know what you're talking about. You're waiting for people to figure out you're not smart. You're not capable as they think. They go from doubt, imposter syndrome, right? Compliments make you uncomfortable because you don't believe them. Sometimes you just have to say thank you and keep it moving. Just say thank you. Which leads to you downplaying all of your accomplishments and everything that you've worked so hard for. Internally, you hear, I just got lucky. Anyone could have done this. So not true. They don't know how much I don't actually know. When are they going to realize I'm actually just winging it? I'm not that good. I just worked really hard. Okay. So in real life, this looks like getting promoted and saying, I mean, they probably didn't have a lot of options. I'm probably the only one that applied. And someone compliments you or praises something that you've done, and you immediately, you don't even give it a couple seconds, you immediately start going ahead and pointing all the flaws. Well, this was wrong, and this looks bad, and I could have did this better. I'm guilty. I'm guilty, and I'm still working on myself, y'all. I'm still working on myself. That's why I'm in recovery. You attribute your success to timing, other people and circumstances, anything but you, anything but the fact that you did it. And then you keep moving the goalpost. I'll feel successful when I get this. I'll feel successful when I get that job, when I get this house, when I get this money. And you get it and it still doesn't feel like it's enough because it's not an external thing. It's not an external thing. And this is happening because your standards are impossible for you to meet. You're never going to feel like you've arrived. You've constantly been told, don't be too confident. Don't be too much. Don't be intimidating. I've been called intimidating so many times in my life, and it used to affect me so much that I would dim myself. I'm not doing it anymore because someone being intimidated has nothing to do with me and everything to do with them. You acknowledging the things that you've done good feels like you're being arrogant. It feels dangerous. It feels like you're bragging. And then you compare your messy behind the scenes to everyone else's polished highlight reel, which social media is really bad for heightening this for us. And what it's going to cost you, you don't enjoy anything you build. Imagine being in school for almost 20 years and enjoying none of it. You are out here with a PhD and doing great for yourself and enjoying none of it. Or in this constant angst that they're going to find out I'm a fraud. So you shrink yourself so that you're small because you don't want to be seen as cocky. And then anything after that, it just no achievement feels like it's enough. It never feels like it's enough. And so if you've ever gotten a compliment and thought, if they only knew, I want you to put a 5 in the comment. So what does this mean for you? Okay, we've gone through 5 different signs for you to know if you're a high achiever. What does this mean for you? You're a high achiever. Just Welcome to the club. You are a high achiever. And second, this is what you need to know. You're not broken. These patterns came from somewhere. They kept you safe. They kept our lineage safe up until now. Okay. And maybe being perfect meant that you were avoiding criticism. Maybe overthinking meant you were going to make fewer mistakes, and people pleasing kept the peace. Your brain developed these different ways and these different mechanisms to protect you. They're not character flaws. I don't think that I'm a flawed person because I'm a high achiever. It was a survival tool that I don't need in my life anymore. So you're not broken. You also don't have to change who you are. Being a high achiever is not a bad thing. Being ambitious isn't bad. Sometimes it can feel like it because it's like, man, I'm trying to do another thing. Wanting to do things well is not bad. So what we're talking about is changing your relationship to these things. You can be ambitious and not be burnt out. You can have certain standards for yourself and not be miserable. And you can very much achieve without sacrificing yourself. You can have both. You don't have to choose between success and peace, achievement and rest. You can be successful and satisfied. They're not opposites. Two things can exist. And both. Doesn't have to be either or. So we're talking about some shifts here, okay? We're not chasing what looks good. We're creating what feels good. We're not going to keep surviving. We're going to thrive. We're not going to keep following these old voices that were put in our head. We're going to make authentic choices that are ours. We're no longer proving our worth. You know that you are worthy. And if you didn't know, I'm telling you, you are worthy. And when you start making these shifts, the world opens up to you. Success is possible that doesn't cost you your peace. You can have drive without feeling depleted all the time, like you're running a race in quicksand. The standards that you aspire to, they don't exhaust you. They're exciting. And the confidence that you have comes from knowing yourself and not performing for all these other people. And so now you're probably thinking, okay, Natasha, I see myself in this, but what is it that I need to do about it? Just notice it. The simplest thing is just noticing it and calling it what it is. You don't have to fix it yet. This week, how about you just pay attention to when the patterns come up? Just see it. When you catch yourself spiraling and overthinking, just say, I'm doing it. You don't have to judge yourself. You don't have to create a story about it. Just be aware. And then question one thing. Just question one thing that you believed. Is it true? Or is it something that someone told you? Do you really need to be perfect? Or can you just be you and still do really well? Does saying no actually make you a bad person and make you selfish? Or does it mean that you're caring for yourself and you're honest? Is rest really necessary? Is rest really lazy or is it necessary? And then just try shifting one small thing. We're not trying to change you as a whole person right now. Choose one thing and think of, what can I do with this? So say no to one thing you normally say yes to. Let yourself rest without earning it. Send the email without rewriting it. Let something be good enough. Accept the compliment. Just say thank you. Just say thank you. Because the reality is, and I know your perfectionism and the high achieving wants to come in on this, right? Because you want to fix all of it right now. You're not going to fix all of this in a week. You're not going to fix all of this in a month. These patterns took years to build. But your small steps, your baby steps are going to add up. And the very first thing that you need is the awareness. So if you want some structure for this, our free 7-day self-care challenge walks you through these exact shifts. Each day is going to tackle one of these patterns with practical, doable actions. And so the link is going to be in the description and pinned in the comment. And it's specifically designed for high achievers who are tired of running on an empty cup, because we don't want no more empty. And so I want to hear from you. I want you to talk back to me. I want to know what's coming up for you. I want to know which side you were. Yes, that's absolutely me. Okay. What are you wondering? And I want you to put your questions in the comments, because I'm going to answer them for you. So some things to think about moving forward. Okay. We've got the five signs. Okay. We have the impossible standards, but only for you. We've got the overthinking everything. We've got saying yes when we mean to say no. We have rest feeling wrong and feeling like a fraud despite real success. You're not broken. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just operating from things that don't serve you. Sometimes we get to a point where we can't do it by ourselves. Okay, we get to a point where we're like, and what do I do next? I have the answer for you. So first, what you can do is go ahead and hit subscribe so that you do not miss any of our content, because that is what this page is about. This page is geared towards the high achieving Black woman and helping her live a life with pleasure, self-care, and rest. So hit subscribe. You can grab our 7-day self-care challenge for practical tools. It's going to be in the description. And if you want personalized support, if you feel like I need a therapist to sit with me, not just a therapist with the credentials behind their name, but someone who lives this on a day-to-day basis, then go ahead and complete that intake form and you will be put with one of our therapists that goes through the same thing. All my therapists are Black women. Okay. They're all high achievers. They're all perfectionists. We are all working on ourselves. So they are not that far removed from what you are going through. And so not only can they give you the clinical support, but they can give you the safe support of, girl, what's understood doesn't have to be explained. I got you. What are we going to do next? So that's also going to be in the description. And then I want you to share this with a friend who's always doing too much, because birds of a feather flock together. So I know if you're watching this, then there's somebody really close to you who needs to hear this, okay? So I want to thank you so much for watching this video. I wish I could have done it live, but we will be back. Hopefully I can get some of my team members to come live to talk about self-love. Thank you for being willing to look at yourself and to be aware. And thank you for choosing to do things differently for yourself, because you deserve to feel as good as you look. So I will see you next month live. Until then, be kind to yourself. You're doing better than you think. Talk to you later. Bye.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If this conversation sparked something in you and you're ready to take action, don't let that inspiration fade by Monday morning. Visit www.jrewellness.com/reset and start your free 7-day self-care reset today. Because the woman who just listens and the woman who actually takes action, they live completely different lives. Talk to you next week. Bye.